Hi, and welcome to another backstage interview with Folkin.com at CropReady 2023. And I'm so lucky to be talking to the wonderful, the lovely Rick Saunders.
Oh, how kind of you to say that.
I always say that. You're looking very well as well.
Well, I'm not doing too bad because,
fit as a
fiddle. I am now, believe it or not, I am now approaching 70.
No way.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm approaching it from the wrong direction. No, I was 70 in December.
Really?
Yeah, and which came as a shock. I should have been ready for it, but I wasn't.
That is amazing, because it's, what, 86 you joined Fairport?
No, I wasn't that old.
When
I see what you mean.
Gladys Leap, wasn't it?
Well, it was 85, April of 85, when I played Gladys's Leap, but I wasn't a member of Fairport. I was just... Fairport at that time had come down to the trio of Simon and Peggy and DM, and they got enough material to do an album. Peggy, of course, had been able to fund Woodworm Studios because he was in Jethro Tull and stuff, and so we had this. They had this lovely studio, and I say we because it became home from home at Woodworm Studios over the years. And the three of them decided to make... They wanted to make an album. They asked Swarb if he wanted to be involved, but he just formed Whippersnapper with young Chris Leslie.
Yeah, of course.
And and Swarb wasn't keen on the material that was apparently... I wasn't there, of course, but... so the three decided to go ahead and did Gladys's Leap in 1985 just with three guests on it, and the three guests were Richard Thompson playing on, I think, three tracks... and Cathy Le Cerf singing one track, and I did three tracks as well. They asked me to do three tracks, and I couldn't believe it, really. I thought, Fairport, I've already got a fiddle player, and he's pretty good, pretty damn good, So I did three tracks, one of which I'm very happy to say, because it was my favourite thing that I did that one day, just one day as recording in Woodworm Studios, was the Ralph McTell song, The Hiring Fair, which had a beautiful arrangement to it, which was by Dave Mattox, actually.
Really? Yeah. So Ralph McTell wrote it and Dave Mattox arranged it, because he put keyboards in, didn't he?
DM is a great keyboard player.
Yeah.
And that has become a kind of a real staple of the Fairport repertoire.
Yeah, you've kind of made that your own with your echo delay on your fiddle and that haunting sound. We always love that when you play that.
I do haunting very well.
You do haunting very well, especially now you're 70.
Yeah, I do. It's true.
I can't believe you. So you don't look a day over 40, really.
Well,
you must have good skin.
Well, I'll tell you what my secret is. Lifelong vegetarian, now vegan.
Yeah.
And lots of gin and tonic.
Oh, you do drink gin and tonic?
I do.
Because Chris Leslie doesn't drink.
No, he spills most of it.
Yeah, he does. But you're still on your gin and tonics, which is great to hear. Yeah. It's great to hear.
Yeah. I mean, I've cut back. Fairport has a reputation as a drinking band, and it certainly has been.
Do you know, I'm only 58, and we have to cut back at some point.
You're looking pretty good now.
I've had to stop. I've lost 3 stone in weight. I've had to stop drinking. When I packed for CropReady, getting my tablets together, my medication took twice as long as packing everything else.
Yeah, well, I know the feeling. Yeah.
I'm like a walking chemist.
Me too. I'm like some people's body is a temple. Mine's a small branch of boots.
Anyway, a fantastic acoustic set you did.
Oh,
loved it. What a lovely welcome that was. And with Dave Mattox back in the band, I'm looking so forward to him, what you're going to be up to.
Well,
you've also been cruising around on cruises, river cruises.
That's been a real nice thing because when I first got told we were going to go on cruises down the River Rhine and whatever.
What a lovely thing.
Well, I thought I'm not going to be into this because I thought, as I've written about in the programme actually, I thought this is going to be like a school trip,
What a bad school trip that goes horribly wrong.
Yeah, but anyway, I'll do it. Yeah. I'll do it. Well, I couldn't have been more wrong. I've been wrong a lot of times in my life. In fact, there's only one time I was right, and that was one time I thought I was wrong. So... it turns out that the cruises are fantastic. You get really well looked after. And we used to tour around Europe. We used to schlep around in a van every single day, check into a new hotel, go to a new sound check with a different PA, do a sound check, then do the gig, then come back and start over again. And it was every day. Well, this one, you've got a luxury cabin, which is maybe a couple of hundred yards walk from where the performance area is. You do one sound check at the beginning of the week. That's all you need. And you get to meet all these lovely people because it's a... They're themed cruises, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So if it's a Richard Thompson cruise or whatever, a Showhands cruise, if it's a Fairport cruise, it's all Fairport fans, you know. Yeah. And we get to hang out with these lovely, lovely, lovely people. Me being a lifelong vegetarian and vegan, I thought, oh, well, I won't, you know, because you have... There's meal times every day.
Yeah, they make you eat a lot, don't they, on the cruises?
Well, I thought I wouldn't eat anything at all because I thought, well, you know, I don't make a fuss about it. I just said, oh, just give me vegetables. But on these cruises, the chefs have taken it upon themselves to you know, the breakfast is a huge buffet, but then the next two meals, you know, lunchtime and evening meal, is menu and stuff. And these guys actually took the trouble to make me a really different and really great vegan meal every single time.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. I didn't demand it of them or anything. So the whole experience was a joy, and it gave us the chance as well to do other things, because we had to do like four shows in the period of, you know, 5 or 6 days or whatever it was. And we thought, well, we can't just do Fairport shows all the time. It's Peggy who is the ideas man in the group. You know,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
full of great ideas.
Sometimes he's great. Other times...
Whatever. But they keep coming. They do keep coming. They do keep coming.
It's one of those things where sometimes I think he's saying, he says, maybe I didn't think this through.
Yeah. I actually, you know, his idea that one year I should arrive on stage on a wire coming from the top of the mixing tower, you know. And now I'm not good with heights. It wasn't such a great idea. And we didn't do it, thankfully. But Peggy said, what else can we do that's different? And his idea was, and we've done two of these so far, was to have karaoke nights where members of our audience would choose to sing songs and we'd back them.
Fantastic.
And the first one was a Beatles karaoke.
Yeah.
The second one was a Bob Dylan karaoke. The Beatles one was hilarious. Beatles songs are actually very difficult to sing.
They are, because
they don't stay in one key, they modulate, they have, you know. Bob Dylan, of course, equally brilliant, amazing songwriter, iconic songwriter. What can you say about Bob, you know? But his songs are a lot more kind of straightforward. They're easier to learn. So the Beatles one was... And some people did the Beatles good, you know. Some were so bad that they were entertaining. So the entertainment, you don't lose out on, you know. If it's good, it's entertainingly good.
Yeah.
If it's bad, it's entertainingly bad.
Entertainingly bad, you can't lose.
The Dylan night actually went very, very well, and I think Peggy's idea for the next thing is actually to have a Fairport karaoke where they come and sing.
Be
so that's good, because it'll be good for us because we know all the songs.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Easy work. Yeah.
But then he said to myself and Chris Leslie, he said, well, what can you come up with for a different night's entertainment? And so Chris and I thought, oh, we'll have something, you know. Now Chris, as it happens, over the last about nearly 8 years now, has been becoming a magician.
Yeah.
He has these great enthusiasms, and he's not a dilettante in any of them.
Right.
He gets all these enthusiasms and he takes them to the edge. And he is an amazing magician now.
Wow.
He's really, really... I mean, he can do things that, you know, they even make Peggy's hair curl. This is how good they are. And so Chris would do the magic. Peggy said, well, what could you do, Rick? And so, I thought, a swing jazz evening.
Yeah.
And knowing that...
You love your jazz, don't you?
I do. Yeah, well, that's the background I come from, you know, jazz and jazz rock and fusion and stuff like that. But I happen to know that Chris Leslie is an absolute passion for the music of Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli.
Yes, I spoke to him about it earlier, yeah.
Yeah, the gypsy jazz.
I said to him he's in touch with the spirit of Django.
He is.
Yes, it's been, especially really over the time in France.
And he plays it fantastic on mandolin, which is an instrument which has never been used much in that genre. And that's something that I loved, you know, and have played that repertoire since I was a kid. And not just the Django and Stefan repertoire, but the great American songbook. So I love especially George Gershwin and Duke Ellington and other writers like Harold Arlen, who wrote Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and of course Cole Porter and Irving Berlin and Rodgers and Hammerstein and Jerome Kern. There's that huge, beautiful repertoire of what is generically called the Great American Songbook. And so we put together a jazz set as well, and we've done it twice now, and it was absolutely great to be afforded. And Simon and Peggy play that stuff great. They could both, you know. Simon is a great rhythm guitar player.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he can pick up on that. Yeah,
don't mind saying, I think Simon is underrated as a guitar player.
Well, yeah, because he sings a lot of the time, you don't realise what he's doing behind that. And I watch him because I play guitar. So
and also the fact that, you know, growing up and everything, the obvious guitar star of Fairport was always Richard Thompson.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
he is, you know, an exceptional...
But as a rhythm player,
but Simon is absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. I think he's underrated. I think he's probably underrated as a singer as well. But, you know, he plays the swing stuff great. He really... I mean, Simon and I just did as a duo, we did a medley which we put together years ago, actually, when we were opening up for Jethro Tull as a duo. That's another story. Put together a medley of Sophisticated Lady by Duke Ellington.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Going into Here, There and Everywhere by the Beatles, Paul McCartney. Which is in the most, and these two things, they just fit together beautifully.
They're amazing. Because
they're from the same place somehow.
And did you say you went to Ibiza and you bumped into Tom Leary and you've now got a new quartet on the horizon?
We have. Tom Leary, Vaux Fletch, and Ray Jackson from Lindisfarne.
That's going to be fab.
Well, it is. We've only done about half a dozen gigs.
Yeah.
But Ray Jackson, the secret weapon, because he was one of the two main vocalists, you know, there's Alan Hull, of course, and Ray. He wasn't such a prolific writer as Alan Hull, but he did write lots of great songs for Lindisfarne. He's a great mandolin player. His harmonica playing is, you know, he plays blues harmonica.
Yeah.
He also plays the chromatic harmonica, you know, the button harmonica.
Oh, like that Stevie thing. Wonder yeah, plays. I've seen the amazing things.
And so we do a version of my tune, The Rose Hip, from the Red and Gold album, something for the Fairport.
Yeah, beautiful song.
Where in the middle eight modulates, so you can't play it on a diatonic harmonica, no. You know, it's very difficult. But he plays it on the, you know, what, for want of a better word, the Stevie Wonder, Larry Adler, you know, that the button harmonica where you can play chromatically.
Yeah.
And he plays it beautifully. He sings beautifully. He's a great front man.
Yeah.
And he's also our, you know, he's our sex symbol.
He
was Lindisfarne's sex symbol.
Yeah,
he was. And he's ours as well.
Yeah, you know. That's it.
So, and we just got together for fun, really, because Ray now lives in the Cotswolds too. So we just got together for a laugh. Had a rehearsal in my summer house, took it from there, did a few gigs, did our first festival, the New Forest Folk Festival.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A little while back. Went great. And we're just having a blast doing it, you know.
The New Forest Folk Festival is a lovely one. I've been there a couple of times now, and we always go to folking.com. Unfortunately, I was recording my own album this year, so I couldn't get there.
When's it out?
We've got another two days of recording, but I'm hoping in October.
Yeah, what's it called?
Well, we haven't got an album title, but a band's called Shinaki, which is an old Gaelic word for storytellers. So we've kind of got a lot of stuff going on, a few songs I've written, and we've recorded most of it down the Leveller studio in Brighton.
Oh, great, fantastic.
We've got another couple of days down there, and then we've got to mix it, and then we've got to get it promoted. So I couldn't go to the New Forest Folk Festival. I was so annoyed. I was camping up, and lo and behold, Keith and Nick was camping
Nick
opposite me.
Oh, no, yeah.
So when I said hello, mate, I was just having a nice chat to them, because they're directly opposite
us. It's a lovely festival.
Oh, it's lovely. It's like a miniature crop ready, isn't it?
The next minute, you know.
Yeah, that's great. So I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight, and with Dave Mattox in. Any little secrets you can let us into the sort of Dave Mattox-y set?
Well, do you know?
Or is it? Will you have to shoot me after?
I don't mind. I don't mind talking about it. You know, Jerry Conway hasn't been too well,
and you look very frail.
He's very frail at the moment.
It's not.
And we're all worried about Jerry.
Yeah.
And it was not safe for him to be on the road, really. We were just all very concerned, and he kind of realised it too, and realised that it was time to, you know, to back down and stuff. So we love Jerry and we worry about him, and we hope, you know, that he's going to be okay. But we were stuck. We had no drummer for the winter tour and for Cropperty. Last year at Cropperty, DM was booked at Cropperty anyway. And so he and Jerry played together. They've always been the greatest friends. And so that was lovely to see. Whatever. But now that Jerry can't really... He's not really well enough to go on tour or stuff like that. So now DM is going to do the winter tour and Cropperty every year.
Yeah, that's good.
And everything else we'll do is just like a four-piece.
Like your autumn tour will be a four-piece. Like it used to be basically that anyway, didn't
like
it?
Sitting
it's a nice thing to do.
Sitting down on acoustic chairs.
They've got a nice feel, those gigs, anyway.
Yeah. And we always have acoustic chairs because the alternative's terrible.
Acoustic chairs.
And DM is... probably, well, not probably, look, not beat around the bush, he is Fairport's most iconic drummer.
Do you know what?
He's a brilliant keyboard player as well.
Absolutely, his keyboards, you know, and his drums.
So when it's given us, having gone through this dreadful sadness with seeing Jerry not being too well, DM has given it the whole thing a real lift. You know, he lives in Boston. I'm not Lincolnshire.
A long way to travel, but
it's been a delight playing with him again.
But what I find,
it's lifted our spirit. You know?
Absolutely, that's what I'm going to say. Gives another great buzz to the band, and it's great to have him back in. I would imagine.
And he's really funny as well.
He's such a character.
I don't have to do all the stand-up anymore.
Do you know, years ago, you might remember, I had a radio cafe down in Medway, and I got the band to play at the radio Medway FM radio cafe, and you lot turned up, and then Dave Matters like wandered in about it. He was almost half an hour late. He's going, "Oh, it's just a cafe then." He's like, so casual about it all. It was so funny. Yeah. Also, a few years back, you know, I was listening to the Cropperty box set, and you could pick out the tracks that Dave played in because of that little snare rim shot and things like that. It's fantastic. So I'm looking forward to it. Rick, it's been a pleasure talking to you, mate. Thank you very much indeed. Lovely to talk to you and catch up, and I'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you so much, and lots of love to everybody.
Thank you, mate. See you later. Bye.